To give a person a name is to not only mark that that person is special to us, but to name a person means that you are their parents. Names are of great significance. Until I was 26, I went by my middle name, which was the name Ricky, R-I-C-K-E-Y. It was not the shortened form to the name Richard, it was a proper name. And I never liked that name. And I thought, to be an ordained person and to be called Ricky, they just don't go together. And so when I was first ordained as an Anglican, I decided at my ordination to the diaconate to change my name from Ricky to my first name, which is Jonathan. And I do like the name Jonathan, not only because of the name and how it sounds. Father Jonathan is much better than Father Ricky, don't you think? But also because of what the name means. The name Jonathan means loved of God. And indeed, that has been the remarkable gift of my life, is growing into my name. Well, in Matthew's gospel, names, as you know, are of great significance, particularly if you were at Mass yesterday morning, where we heard that remarkable genealogy. But the way Matthew does this, and because I have a musical background, I often think musically, it's almost as if what happens in Matthew 1 is this crescendo where it's getting louder and louder and louder until we get to today's gospel, which, if it was musically inscribed, would have FFFF, which means really, 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 really loud, a fortissimo, fortissimo. And here, what happens is Matthew now gives us two names. The name Jesus, which of course we know means to be saved from our sins, and the name Emmanuel, which means that God is with us. And it's these two names that become so profoundly significant to us when we apply them to our lives. I say this repeatedly when talking with children, that if you think about the word sin, what's the middle letter? Well, it's the letter I. And the whole problem with sin is that it leads us to be self-absorbed, self-preoccupied, that we are at the center. But when we learn to say, rather than the I being at the center of my life, it's the letter J that we want at the center, that is, Jesus is our center, something begins to happen to us. We discover the second name that God declares today, that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And what we are invited to continually consider during the season of Advent is a deepening conversion. A deepening conversion that takes us away from self-centeredness into Christ-centeredness, so that in turn we can live and embody in our lives what it means to say, God is Emmanuel. He is God with us. In that reading that we had from the book of Jeremiah, there's this beautiful part of the text that it's easy to miss. That Jeremiah says that when the true king comes, it won't be just remembering what happened at the time of the Exodus when the people of Israel were taken out of Egypt, but he then refers to a new deliverance when the people will be delivered from Babylonian captivity and brought back to the promised land. In other words, what he is talking about is the deliverance that is contemporary, that has to do with their own lives, not just remembering something that happened centuries ago. And this is at the heart of what conversion means, because conversion is about taking the story of salvation that's contained in the Bible and we apply it to our lives. As some of you know, because you were there, on Monday, I was privileged to preside at the funeral mass of a 9-month-old. And although this was incredibly hard and difficult for everyone there, to be able to have a funeral mass for baby Isaac Montez was to celebrate exactly what I'm saying today. Our story is not a story that's just some ancient tale that has no application for today. But it has an application that brings that ancient story into the reality of our present suffering. Because at the fundamental level of our human lives in this world, is that life is about suffering. That's the central motif of living in the present. And don't take my word for it. St. Paul said it in Romans chapter 8 at verse 18 when he said, I have come to consider that the sufferings of this present life are not worth being compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. Now, how could Paul say that? Because he knew Jesus. The one who takes away our sin is also Emmanuel. And he understood that at the heart of the story is Jesus' story. At the heart of our names is his name. And when we see our lives and all of what it means in relation to his life, then in the midst of it all, we can speak hopeful, faithful, loving words in the midst of great sorrow. How do people make sense out of life if they don't know this name, if they don't know the name Jesus? How do people make sense out of life if they do not know the one who is Emmanuel, God with us? And in conclusion, let me just make this observation. The beauty of our Catholic faith is that whenever you enter a Catholic church, it doesn't matter where it is in the world, the two names of the Lord, Jesus and Emmanuel, are always present. Here on the altar is the one who is Jesus, who saves us from our sins. In the tabernacle is Emmanuel, God who is with us. To be Catholic is to enter fully into the story, not from some bygone time 2,000 years ago, but it's bringing the incarnation from Bethlehem to Calgary, from Joseph and Mary into St. Peter's. And so may we recognize that these two names, the name of Jesus and the name Emmanuel, are the most important names, because his name is the name above every name. And those who abide in him know what it is to say, yes, Jesus, you are with me. And for that, I am thankful.